When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Subscribe to the Inside Sports Podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. This is 630 Chad Inside Sports.
Panthers and Maple Leafs 1-1 after two. Early in the third, Islanders and Capitals 1-1. Wild and Avalanche a little bit later. Oilers home to the Kings tomorrow. 5:30 faceoff show here on Chad. Game at 7. Somebody wrote in earlier and asked for the Oilers' record against playoff teams, the teams currently in playoff spots. I just quickly, so I hope I didn't miss a game or two. I got them at 19-14-4 against teams currently in the playoffs. So not bad. 19-14-4, the Oilers against playoff teams. The Hotline presented by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way. I go there now and welcome Curtis Stock back to the show. Curtis, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good. 1991, eh?
That's my greatest memory of you.
I can't believe you remember it, and I hope that wasn't my last winner.
Well, you went back-to-back, 91, 92. I don't know. I used to read your stuff all the time. I liked the horse racing. I remember you were writing, I think you were writing a university weekly column when I was in university. So yeah. I used to read that. So I don't know. It's just one of those weird things that stick with you. It's funny because now I'm kind of like you are about it, because sometimes someone will say to me like, oh, hey, Reed, you predicted that and you were like totally wrong. Or you predicted this and you got it right. And I'll be like, really? I have no idea. So anyway, thanks for listening tonight. Did you hear the negative Nelly and positive Pam stuff about the Oilers? And if so,
yeah,
which one are you?
Pants, isn't it?
Yeah, now it's positive pants. That's our new brand. Yeah. Which camp do you fall in about the Oilers? Like, are you feeling good, or are you still thinking, I don't know, I don't like the problems they have sometimes?
I don't like the problems they have sometimes. I mean, they're definitely the most exciting team to watch, but defensively, I don't know. I think this game against the Kings is gonna say a lot. I think that that's a team they got to beat to get there.
Yeah, probably at some point. I think the Kings would be a tougher matchup than Vegas for the Oilers. Now, famous last words, maybe, but just the Kings, they got better in the offseason. They didn't have Doughty last year.
Yeah.
And I think some of the Oilers stars realized that they got to get a little nasty in the playoffs to win. But, you know, L.A., I think, already knows that, right?
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, playoffs are going to be fun. We got you on for another reason. The new book is The Turcotts, The Remarkable Story of a Horse Racing Dynasty. When I have somebody on who's written a book, I always start with this question. Tell me about the seed for this book, what the original idea that, you know, sparked it.
Well, it goes back 20 years, actually. I had the idea 20 years ago. But when COVID hit, I finally said there's no reason anymore to put this off, and I started writing it. So it goes back a long time, but it's such a fascinating story.
So how long have you known the Turcotts? I mean, it's got to be most, if not all, of your career, I would assume.
God, yeah. I went and saw Ronnie in New York when he was riding in New York in the early 1970s. So I've known him for a long time. He lives in St. Albert. We talked lots. Rudy rode here for a little while. I got to know him. Noel, I didn't know. And Roger rode here, so I knew him very well.
Okay, so you have their full participation in this book, because sometimes, like, I've had Jeff Perlman on the show, and I know, I'm sure this is mostly a positive book, but, like, sometimes the subjects are like, I just don't want to participate. But they were fully into this, eh?
Yeah. I mean, this is it's an unbelievable story. I mean, they went on to such greatness and triumphs, but there's a lot of tragedy in the book as well, and that's well detailed.
So you mentioned you had the idea 20 years ago to do this. I'm curious, just kind of a behind the scenes type question, like, what is your writing process? Would you try to make it like 9 to 5, 9 to noon? I got to write. How did you approach your day?
I'd get up sometimes at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and start writing. And sometimes I'd write till after midnight. I didn't have a set schedule. There was a lot of research that went into it. And that's what took most of the 3 years for me to complete it.
You would write literally all day sometimes? Or close?
Yeah, I'd take a break, but a lot of times there's a lot of hours written and a lot of hours of research, like I said. Some days it would only be a couple hours, and you just couldn't do it. And there's no point in pushing it when you can't do it. So, but it was a lot of fun, actually.
So you were doing interviews as you're doing this, and how much did you dig back into maybe stuff you had written 20 years ago or other stories people had written?
Oh, lots. I mean, I went through hundreds of newspapers and, microfiche and stories in newspapers and Google searches and Equibase, it's a horse racing site for statistics. Lots. A lot of work.
And I know you have an editor / fact checker, they have got to dive into all this too, right?
Yeah. The editor I used first for the first one was a guy who worked at the Journal for as long as I did. And he was an editor, and we went about 7 days straight, about 6 hours a day. And then Firefly, which is the publisher, they have an editor, of course, and I worked with him, Darcy, for a month, just going back and forth.
So how is that process? Because I assume if you write it and submit it, you're feeling pretty good about it. So is it a little bit of give and take, or is it like if the editor says, look, this has to be modified, you don't have much choice?
No, it was good. There wasn't a lot of changes that had to be made. There was a couple of, suggestions that he made, which were all good. And, a couple of things that it was give and take. And I think it worked out really well. The only thing that I didn't agree with was the title. But it's the Turcotte's, the remarkable story of a horse racing dynasty. I wanted to call it Triumph and Tragedy, but that was probably the only thing we argued about.
Well, I've noticed that maybe this is just the internet age and the attention span age, or the lack of it, Curtis. Titles are getting more and more just explanatory.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's what this is.
So
it is a remarkable story.
And of course, we want to direct people to the book. And before we go, we'll let people know where they can get it. But you mentioned, can you sort of outline something, tragic that the Turcotte's or one of the Turcotte's had to overcome along the way here that's pretty amazing?
Well, all five of them had problems. Ron Turcotte, the rider, of course, is secretariat, definitely the greatest horse of all time. He was injured in a spill in 1978 in New York, broke his back, and was paralyzed from the waist down. He lives in a wheelchair. Rudy, Noel, and Roger were all alcoholics. Rudy died of alcoholism. Roger and Noel both took their lives. Ease was hurt in a racing accident and told he could never ride again. So there's a lot of triumphs. Collectively, they won 8,251 races for purse earnings of just shy of $60 million, but there was a lot of tragedy, too.
Wow. Well, those numbers are amazing. So this will be an interesting one for people to die. But they were okay going over all of that, eh? Even the tougher stuff, they were okay kind of reliving it through telling you?
Yeah, for sure. Eve said that, he wasn't proud of what happened to some of his brothers, but he was proud of them collectively. And I think, like the Turcotte name in horse racing is synonymous with greatness. And they were all great riders, especially Ron, of course. But Rudy, many say that he was even a better rider than Ron.
So
Roger was a leading apprentice rider in North America 1 year. Noel was a top rider in Canada. Ease was a top rider here. And Rudy, he led the standings up and down the Atlantic seaboard.
Wow. Okay. So, Curtis, you know this better than I do. I mean, you and I have been lucky to spend most of our adult lives covering sports.
Yeah.
But, you know, a good story is not just a sports story. It's a people story. And that's what this is. And it's a family story. Like, and how much is horse racing, because it seems to me there are a lot of families in horse racing. Is it still as family oriented as it used to be? You know what I mean?
Well, yes and no. I mean, once you get horse racing in your blood, it's there. And a lot of people come from, you know, racing backgrounds. They don't just, you know, become an accountant one day and then say they're going to be a trainer or a jockey. You know, it's bred into them. You know, like I said, like once it's in your blood, it's there. I've been a fan of horse racing going back, you know, like 50 years, so.
Yeah, okay. So it's called The Turcotts, The Remarkable Story of a Horse Racing Dynasty, and Curtis gave you the breaking news of what he wished it would have been called. How could people get their hands on it?
Well, it's available on Amazon right now. Well, it'll be in bookstores in the middle of April. There's three book signings. I've got one on opening day of the Thoroughbred racing season in Edmonton, which is Kentucky Derby Day, May 6th. That's at Century Mile. I've got one at Audrey's Books on May 13th, and another one in Calgary at Century Downs on May the 20th.
Well, that's incredible. Well, when you're at Audrey's, you're going to, like, focus on the signing. I know you can get in there and browse for hours.
yeah, for sure. I hope somebody shows up.
Oh, I think people will show up. Well, tell you what, we'll have to email me those or text me those dates so I can plug them too, closer to, because this is a great, I want to read this when it comes out as well. This will be great summer for reading for me, hopefully after Positive Pam gets her way and the Oilers are deep into the playoffs.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Curtis, keep in touch, man. You're welcome on this show anytime.
Okay, well, thanks for having me.
That is Curtis Stock checking in, a great sports writer here in Edmonton for many, many years. And, yeah, the book is The Turcotts, The Remarkable Story of a Horse Racing Dynasty. Like you said, it's on Amazon right now, and you'll see it in bookstores mid-April, and we'll keep you updated on when his signings are that he just mentioned. Love having Curtis on the show. This is a great story that he told, too. Okay, we'll get a little bit more on the Los Angeles Kings, the Oilers' opponent, tomorrow in a couple of minutes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins is brought to you by James H. Brown and Associates, Alberta's precedent-setting injury lawyers.
Austin Matthews has his 37th of the season. Leafs lead the Panthers 2-1 with 11-12 left in the third period. Toronto out shooting Florida 38-20. Islanders and Capitals still 1-1. That's with 8 minutes left. Wild and Avalanche will start at the top of the hour. And the Oilers play the Kings tomorrow on 6:30. Chad Faceoff show at 5:30. And the game will start at 7 o'clock. Good chat there with Curtis Stock, the new book, The Turcotts, The Remarkable Story of a Horse Racing Dynasty. We also had Kelly Rudy on the show. Good messages from you as I went over my bruncheon with Positive Pam and Negative Nelly about what they think of the Oilers' playoff fortunes. I went to the rink today as the Kings skated, and I had a chat with Darrell Evans, former LA King, now with the Kings Audio Network. Well, Darrell, good to see you again. Coach Todd just spoke. He didn't want to talk about the standings. We can. What a race. I mean, these three teams at the top, they just never lose, I guess, except when they're forced to play each other almost.
Yeah, it's been a real incredible run, you know, basically for about the last 4 to 6 weeks. The three teams right now that are battling for top spot have been very consistent. Like you say, other than the times they meet each other, you know, somebody's got to lose one of those games. But consistently they're winning. They're, you know, they put up some great streaks, getting some great individual efforts, and they're preparing themselves for, you know, for the stretch run going down and then getting into the postseason, which potentially there's all kinds of different scenarios that could line these teams up against each other.
Yeah. Well, and LA is interesting, and I kind of referenced Todd with this too. There were times earlier in the season where the thought with the Kings was, and I'm curious what you're going to say because you're there. Well, the goaltending's not quite good enough. You know, they're winning, but look at the goal differential. It's actually not that great. But they, I mean, they kept winning. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter how you're doing it, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you go back to the beginning of the year, you look at what's happened the last couple of years, the addition of Arvidsson and Danault and, you know, and Edler definitely added a little bit more impact offensively for them. And then this past offseason, the addition of Kevin Fiala. And I think the Kings kind of, you know, looked at their team just on paper and you say, okay, we're capable of scoring a lot more goals. Adrian Kempe last year had 35 goals, and a couple of the young guys were, you know, starting to kind of cut their teeth a little bit. And then I think coming into this season, I think the Kings... you know, they just kind of had to, you know, understand who they were and, you know, the type of game that they had to play. You know, they're playing a lot of high-scoring games, but they were giving up a lot. And, you know, the cloth of this team has always been, you know, tight defensive hockey. And I think, you know, one of the ones that probably paid the price the most was Jonathan Quick early on. You know, the non-structure that they were playing with. He's used to playing with so much structure in his game. So I think the Kings, you know, on that road trip when they went into Boston and got the win in Boston after giving up 6 goals in the third period against Buffalo, I think that was where they hit a fork in the road. And Phoenix Copley was in goal for that game and played an outstanding game. And then the team really dialed into playing defensive hockey. They went on a run, and I think in the month of December, if I remember correctly, they gave up the fewest grade A scoring chances, the fewest slot shots, and they blocked the most shots in the league. So when you put those together, you're going to have some success. And I think they still also found that they're still capable of scoring a lot of goals. You know, you're in a better position. And now as we get a little further on in the year, you know, here we see Kempe, 36 goals, establishes a new career high. Gabe Vilardi's got 23 goals in the season. They've got 520 goal scorers. They've got guys contributing from back in the blue line. So there's a lot more offense coming, but it's all from playing structured defensive hockey. And so they're all getting their share, and everybody's bought in. They're paying attention to detail. And then the goaltenders have been the biggest recipients of the structured play. Both Copley and Korpisalo have done an outstanding job. They're two big presences in the net. They control the puck well, and they've put up some real good numbers.
Okay, so I always love when you take me back to your playing days. When you got a late season game against another team that's playoff bound and a team you might play, was there anything extra in it, you know?
Well, I think, you know, games at this time of the year, I mean, you know, these two teams, you know, are going to jockey for position. I mean, they go anywhere from 1, 2, 3, 4. I mean, it's like, it's crazy. I mean, there's still enough hockey left that the scenarios can change so much. But I think in the back of your mind, you'll still look at potentially this could be a matchup, you know, especially these two teams, even though they haven't played each other, you know, for a while this season. It doesn't take, you know, too much to go back and remember, you know, what happened last year, you know, basically at this time of the year. And, you know, there's changes being made on both sides. So how is that going to change the outcome of what happens this year if potentially that comes up? So it'll be interesting to see. But I think, you know, you approach these games just like, you know, any other game. They're two big points and, you know, two teams that are playing very well that have gotten points on a consistent basis. So they're going to push to keep their game at its highest level. And, again, it's not where you're backed into a corner right now where it's, you know, whoever wins tomorrow is finished or goes on, the other one's finished. You know, you're still going to live to breathe another day. But this is also part of the chess match. You know, you learn a couple of things that if potentially you do come up, what are some of the things they're doing differently now than they did maybe earlier this season or last year when the two teams met up in the playoffs. So there's a lot to be learned, a lot to be gained. Again, both teams have a lot of different personnel on their teams that weren't involved in that battle last year. So, you know, you got to bring them in and get them to understand what's at stake.
Okay, and last one, Oilers power play has a chance to set a league record for percentage. So put yourself in Coach Todd's shoes. Are you saying we got to work on our penalty killing, or are you saying saying, just don't take a penalty.
That's the key to a good penalty kill is, you know, you limit the opportunities. And even though last night I look at the, you know, the statistics from the Vegas game, and, you know, the Oilers only did get three power plays, but they scored three goals. And, you know, I go back to the game before for the Kings. They had four power plays at the beginning of the game. They scored four power play goals and only four shots on goal. So there's no doubt that these power plays, and we'll talk about Edmonton because, you know, they're number one in the league, but the skill that they have in these power plays is incredible. There's no doubt about it. So many guys shoot the puck so well. There's so much traffic in front of the net. So the key will be stay out of the penalty box, you know, limit opportunities. And then how willing are, you know, is a team willing to get in the shooting lanes, you know, to block shots? The Kings have been pretty, you know, resilient in that factor. A lot of guys have sacrificed their bodies through the course of the year. And, you know, and another key to a good penalty kill is getting pucks out on the initial attempt. The Kings gave up a power play goal against Calgary last night, and they had two opportunities to get it up before the goal was scored. So those are the little things. You know, it's, again, you got to respect all the skill and the shooting ability of the players on the other side. But things that you can control are being able to get a puck out, or, you know, doing little things. So you got to pay attention to detail. You cannot, you know, take anything for granted. Like, if you got a time to get it out, you got to make sure you get it out. But it'll be interesting to see that way that matches up. And of course, you know, your best penalty killer's got to be your goaltender. He's got to be good, you know, against a real hot power play. You want to make sure that, you know, you make the initial save, and then you hope that you get help from your defense and the other players around to clear pucks out of harm's way.